This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
Today's show is brought to you by Yo Radio, the first music and radio platform with stations curated and managed by artists and influencers from across the globe. From Drake Bell to Megadeth's David Ellefson to UFC star Uriah Hall, just to name a few. Welcome to Yo Radio. Yo Radio delivers the best listener experience and is completely free. From hip-hop to rock to blues to EDM, Yo Radio has the music you want at your fingertips. Download the app now in the App Store for Apple devices and in the Google Play Store for Android. Or just go to YoRadio.com. That's YoRadio.com.
It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! Into left field! It's number 3,000! A run is scored!
Smith corks one into right down the line! It may go! Go crazy, folks!
The Cardinals there. The Cardinals won the pennant. The Cardinals won the pennant. The Cardinals won the pennant.
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss. The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Cardinal Nation, how the hell are you this morning? Pretty good weekend, I would imagine, here from the patio studios. This is Two Birds on a Bat, the podcast for fans. Your host today, Steve-O. And no Jimbo today, but I'm going to be joined by Josh Potter in here. Josh, how you doing this morning?
Hey, how we doing, guys?
Good. And then, as always, the man, the myth, the legend, on the M4 by Yachty hotline, we got Benji Molina. BMO.
What's going on, man? I'm still full from last night, man. Thanks so much for taking care of these big bodies.
What happened last night? Fill us in.
What happened last night was that we got filled up with some ribs, some broth. Oh, man, I never had anything like it. I tell you, some guacamole with some chips, which, you know, you got to have them. And, oh, my goodness, that was so freaking good, Steve-O. That was really good. Tasty, too.
Tasty, very tasty. Good restaurant there at the Casa de Flowers there for sure.
Uh-huh. Heck yeah, man.
Hey, so I'm a little disappointed. My favorite's the mango salsa that we go with. And you don't even...
I got some, and it was good. And the bread, what was that bread that you gave me, the bread with the peach?
Oh, I don't know. That's something my wife makes. It's probably healthy. I try to stay away from it. I like the unhealthy stuff, the stuff covered in, like, sauce and sugars and, you know, the meat, anything with a starch in it. The potatoes were out of this world. I wasn't happy with the corn on the cob, though.
Mashed potatoes. I mean, you did it, man. You did it. We got to do that again.
Well, I'm sure we'll be doing it again. I think the next one, I think you and Emily were talking about. Jamie, your wife, will be in town, so it's probably a little bit healthier of a menu. We'll try to fool her with what we do when you're in and around the St. Louis Cardinals here.
Hey, we could go in the backyard and have our own, and then they can talk in the inside, you know, in the living room, and have their own healthy stuff. We can have our own unhealthy stuff. How's that, man?
That's what I'm talking about. Well, let's get on talking a little Cardinal baseball here for sure. We since our last show last Thursday, we had a 4-game set with the old Pirates there, and did fairly well. Couple of walk-offs, a near no-no, and, you know, and a game sandwich in there in the middle where we didn't fare so well. But took 3 out of 4 from the Buccos. Not a bad weekend stand.
Not a bad weekend at all, man. We should, you know what, Steve-O and Josh. I was listening to a couple of shows, you know, on the way over to my mom's, and these guys they're not all over Ozuna. They were just expecting more like we were, you know. We were expecting way more for him by now, but why are they all over Ozuna when we have four other guys in our lineup that are not even reaching 200? Maybe one did, but four other guys in our lineup are not even hitting 200, and I don't hear a word about them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's frustrating.
Ozuna's last name is on the radio because he should be better. He should be doing this. He should be hitting more home runs. He should be getting more RBIs. I'm like, dude, you don't realize who we have? We have four guys that are really low right now in production, and you're going to pick on the guy that the lowest he's got is like 255?
That's the expectation, you know. It's the expectation of, you know, Mozeliak going out and getting a big bat like that, and for him to come in and not hit the home runs that is expected out of him. I mean, I'm not saying it's a good thing that we sit here and expect, you know, the same. I don't know. I see it both sides on that point. I mean, I do understand where the fans are coming from, but I also understand, you know, he's still not hitting the ball bad.
Well, before they do that, they should go into the other players first.
That's what
I'm trying to say. Like, before you're going to do that of Ozuna, you better go to the other four players and do that same thing. Then after you're done with those same players that we expect that from the other players to do their job too at a high level, and they're not doing it. Now, after you're done with that, then you go back to Ozuna and you say whatever the heck you want. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, Josh, listen. It's like getting all over Jose Martinez's defense. You know why I think it's so unfair? Because he's our leader in offense.
Yep.
That's the only reason why I think he's really unfair. Is he a below average first baseman? Maybe. But it's really unfair for the kid to be criticized on a defense where he's hitting 3-something. Well, maybe not now, but he's our leader in the club in every offensive category.
Oh, yeah.
Unfair for the
yeah.
kid. And then we have a so-so defender, really kind of so-so, not really below average, but he's a so-so defender with the hurt arm or whatever you want to call it. And then he's not hitting the way he's capable, and nobody says anything. Those are the things that really, really gets me going, man.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's such a touchy subject with some fans. It's kind of comical on Twitter and that, and this and that. But, you know, it comes down to, you know, Jose, I can get past that defense. Hell, he made a pretty good – he had a piss rod hit at him yesterday, and he fielded that pretty well for being a below average first baseman.
The balls that he's missed are not easy, like fans are trying to make it look like.
Yeah, he's what, 6'6", 6'5"?
Yeah, they might be easy for Rizzo. They might be easier for Pujols. It might be easier for guys that have been there forever and done that position for their life. But for a guy who's transitioning to a first baseman, those are not easy. I don't care who you are.
And that's what I keep trying to tell people. He's still working at it. He's still getting better. I mean, I feel like he's getting better. He's going to have those errors from here and there. It's part of the game.
Yeah, well, the bottom line is the fact of the matter is his offense plays.
Absolutely.
Okay, so and his – people will find a reason to complain that the sun is shining and it's 74 degrees outside right now. There's just certain people that are going to find a reason to complain. It gives them a purpose in this world, so to speak. And unfortunately, I know Jimbo gets caught up in that quite a bit, and you do too a little,
oh, yeah.
Josh. I mean, at some point, you just got to let it go and let these guys play the games. There's 162 games. I think we're about a third of the way through, maybe a little bit more than a third of the way through. We're right there in the standings. And as far as everything goes, from how bad we started from a statistical standpoint, we're right there, and Carpenter's heating up.
Fowler collected a few hits.
I mean, he's going to still have to, you know, continue to rake to get to where it is. I'm going to turn a little bit of focus on to Colton Wong. I know he's only hitting .180.
He's kind of the opposite. If you think about it, he's the complete opposite of Jose Martinez.
Correct. And I wish he could do a little bit more offensively, but the guy's got a couple of walk-off jacks. You talk about hitting big home runs in big situations, and that was my big complaint about a guy like Matt Holliday a couple years ago, that if we were down 8-1, he would have a two-run home run. And his stats look great at the end of the year, but did they win you games? Did he come up in a big clutch situation and get that home run? Was there a walk-off? How many times did he have that opportunity not come through? Colton seems to, you know, relish that environment, being in a clutch situation, and his glove's been excellent. I don't know how you don't keep him in the lineup just because he has that possibility, that potential, as we talk about, to be an electric player. He had a good interview after the game. I just want to see him have some success, man. We got a good contract on him, and his glove's been excellent. Timely hitting.
The best second baseman in the game right now.
And he could be a threat at the bases. He could put some pressure on people, but he doesn't get on.
Yeah. I agree.
But we all looking forward. I'm looking forward to see that day where he just catch fire, man, and he becomes that guy. But it's not looking pretty good, man. It's not looking good for himself.
No, and haven't we been, like, waiting for that for, like, 4 years now? 3 years at least? I mean, that's the thing. I mean, how many years goes by, and then you're like, well, okay, time to, you know, just kind of realize it when you see it.
Well, I don't think – I think he's shown flashes. I don't know if he's ever put everything together at the same point in his career as far as defensively, offensively, base running, the mental part of the game, you know, being a smart baseball player. I don't know if he's put all that together at any one point, but I'm pretty sure that the coaches see, and anybody with a half a brain can see that the talent this kid has.
Oh, yeah.
And we talk about guys like Javi Baez out there, and this kid, you know, Colton Wong could be that player. He's that electric. He has that much potential. I just want to see him get above the Mendoza line. You know, I mean, I could take his defense and a 230 hitter. I could take that. It's hard to find those at-bats if you're only going to bat 180. And that's where the problem comes. He's going to have to start getting an extra base hit or two a week for sure.
I'm with Josh when he said about 4 years. I think that's too long to give a guy a shot. Am I happy that he gets a shot? Yeah, I'm happy. I mean, I wish they could give him 5-6 years and see if he works. But in the major league level, I don't think that's good for a team when you have a guy 6 years or 5 years and you're trying to give him a shot and, okay, let's give him a shot again. Okay, let's try it again. Okay, let's try it again. All you're doing is pushing your team back. Look at what's happening right now. So it's like, in a way, like what's happening with Carp, it's like, okay, Carp can hit. He couldn't play. Remember, guys, he play okay in the defense. He's not a great defender, but he just makes the play. You know, he's better than average, you know, of course. But he's not a great defender. Now he's hurting. Now he's hurting in his foot. He's hurting in his shoulder. So how long are we going to allow this to happen, to have these kids playing like this when you have a Jerko that has given you a positive at-bat and every time he plays, he does great, and you still keep him in the bench, you know, and then you have other guys that can help you out, like Bader, but you still put him in the bench for Fowler when Fowler's struggling, things like that. So that's why the organization have a handful, man, because they need to make a couple decisions. If we are going to win, and if we are going to try to win this thing, ain't going to be with guys hitting 180 or 200. I'll tell you that right now. You can erase that. We're not going to win anything with four guys hitting under 200 or close to 200. You can erase that. Erase it, because it ain't going to happen.
Yeah, you are right. That's a tough sled to pull when you got those guys. And for all intents and purposes, Tommy Pham struggling.
Oh, he looks god awful. Like, even in the outfield, he's not. I said it last week. I'm a little.
He
just doesn't look right to me. He doesn't look right at the plate. He's having bad first steps in the outfield, which one cost a hit, and then the other ones, he had to really get on his horse and catch him. I mean, he doesn't look very comfortable anywhere.
But listen, Josh and Steve-O, I take it more easy or easier when a guy start hot like he did and then gets into a slump.
I'm okay
with that.
Yeah.
Because I know he might come out of it with a nice series or maybe player of the week or something. He might come out of it again. But when a guy starts really below 200 and then he gets hot, and then guess what? He's 210. He's 215. And then he goes back down when the waters, you know, reach their height. They go back down to normal. He's still under 200. That's what I'm scared of. That's what I'm worried about. But for him to be struggling when he did so well earlier, it doesn't scare me. You know what I'm saying, guys? Because he's going to come back up. He's going to go back up. He has to. He's been doing it. So he just need to get hot again and keep going, and that's fine. That's why I'm okay with Pham struggling right now, because I think he's going to come back up. But the other guys, even if they get hot, you saw it with Carpenter. Carpenter had like a week or two that they couldn't get him out. But guess what? Where's he at now? 210.
Yep, 215, right? Actually. Yep, 215.
So you see what I mean, the difference? I'll take the Pham struggling because he started off hot, and that's great. But for a guy to start slow, there's no time for slumps, man. It's all let's go and let's get five hits and three at-bats, and that's what it feels like for these guys, not for Pham. Pham's okay. He'll be fine. You watch. He's going to get a week that he gets hot, and he goes back to 300. You watch. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, well, the funny thing is I've always looked at it as it's got to be timely hits. Mm-hmm. You can go 3-for-4, 2-for-4 all day long, and if you're doing it with two outs and nobody on and the pitcher behind you, you're probably not being very productive, okay? At the end of the day, just take, for instance, yesterday's game. I think Waka was dealing, but I think we were almost no hit or no runners after the first inning for like another 3 or 4 innings. It was a very quick game, not a whole lot of base runners after the first, but – everything was very timely, right?
Yep.
Couple hits, walk, boom, grand slam. All right, 4 runs. That's all you really needed. And the timely hitting is what I got to look at for, you know, when you're looking at a guy struggling. Just like I talked about with Colton Wong. You know, gets up, nobody on, bottom of the ninth, boom, puts one out of the ballpark. That's a big, big timely hit. Kind of makes you forget the 0-for-3 or 0-for-4 game he had to start off, whatever it might have been. But you got to have those timely hits. And then that kind of throw your stats out the window. And, BMO, we talked about that a little bit yesterday with those, you know, how guys in the, you know, even in the minor leagues with the Angels, you were talking about your brother Chio talking about catchers. You know, one guy's hitting a .190 in single A, another guy's hitting – or in double A, guy's hitting a – you know, 270 in single A, and they won't flip-flop them because of, you know, they're looking at luck hits versus, you know, good at-bats and things like that. So there's a little bit of the eye test that has to come into play when you get into the statistics a little bit too.
Yeah,
I hope everybody followed
Pham,
that.
See, and this is my thing, though. With Pham, he's not catching up to the fastball. He's not at all, like 94, 95, 96. I mean, and I feel like he's caught up to that in the past. And the only reason why it worries me is because of his track record. He's, what, 29, 30 years old. I mean, we all know his history by now in the minors and
he's
all that stuff.
Anymore.
Do what?
He's not a young guy anymore.
No, and that's what I'm saying is that that's why it worries me with his track record. You know, and I'm – don't get me wrong. I hope like hell Pham comes out of it and goes, you know, and hits like 400 for his next 100 plate appearances, because right now his last 100 plate appearances, he's hitting 200. I mean, that's where the slump, it kind of – he's treading on that line where I'm not sure if I'm sold on it yet, or if this is going to be a continued thing, or if he's going to hop out of it. If it was only 30 plate appearances, I'd be like, oh, he's fine. He'll be all right. Maybe even 50 plate appearances. Yeah, I'm on board with him. But now it's getting up into the hundreds, and I'm getting a little worried, especially with him being at the top of the order. Our series against Pittsburgh this weekend, we actually, besides the one shutout, we put up some runs. Our offense kind of showed up a little bit. I mean, yeah, Marcel hit that grand slam like we mentioned yesterday. But and then other than that, we only got one run in the late innings. But you know what I mean? Like, our offense kind of came alive this weekend, but without Pham, without, you know, Fowler contributed, without Wong, we had Carson Kelly in there that didn't do anything again. I mean, guys like that, I don't know. And back to Wong, I kind of want him to be a late inning defensive replacement just because of that clutch hitting
and Gold Glove. You just mentioned all that, and I was just thinking, imagine if we start worrying about Pham, all right? Like you just said, you know, we're worried about him because he's going so low, and we should be worried because we don't know what's going on. But imagine now start worry about Pham. Now, how many people do we have to start worrying about during the year? Now, that was Pham. Now we got to worry about Kelly not doing the job, right, that they thought he would. Now we got to worry about Carpenter, his shoulder, foot, average, everything. And then now we got to worry about Fowler not having a good season so far. Then we got to start worrying about Wong that's not having one of his best seasons yet either. That's five guys out of nine.
Well, hold on. Let's add two more. Let's add Rodney DeYoung and Yachty coming back from injuries. That's more worry, you know, and Carlos Martinez all coming back from the DL that you got to worry about because you don't know how they're going to play. You know, and DeYoung has a hand injury. Yachty's injury is the most indescribable man injury that, I mean, like I said, I would have taken my equipment off and just quit. I would have left the game. And you got to worry about these guys coming back and how they're going to – will they pick up where they left off? Is there going to be a rust period? Can we afford it?
I think Yachty will be fine. I'm more worried about the lat with Carlos than anything. I hope he's, you know, obviously doesn't end up like Reyes, but, you know – I think those guys will come back and be fine, and I get it. There's always something to be worried about with teams. As fans, we're always going to worry about so-and-so not doing something. Somebody's always going to be in a slump. It's baseball. Somebody's not, you know, even Norris giving up that home run the other day. It's going to happen. Go ahead.
Everybody's freaking out about
the
home run.
Yeah.
I guess, but they don't give him credit for the next three strikeouts.
Yeah. Oh, my God, everybody on Twitter was freaking out.
Yes. Everybody, listen, everybody worries about, oh, he gave it up, he sucks and all that. And then he kept us in the game by striking the next three freaking guys out. Then Wong came in and hit the bomb.
Yep.
I'm like, dude, I mean, I know he gave it up. I know he messed it up. But at least give him credit that he kept us in the freaking game and then didn't fall apart in the mound and gave up the lead or anything. He struck out the next three guys.
And that Austin Meadows kid, I mean, he's been a prospect in the Pirates organization for a long time now, like 4 or 5 years now, I want to say, maybe. I don't know. I haven't looked him up. But, you know, he's a decent little hitter coming up. And the fact that people are on Twitter just sitting there saying, oh, I guess Norris is broken now. I guess Norris sucks, blah, blah, like, God bless. Can these guys not give up a run without just giving up, people giving up on them? Like, it doesn't – I couldn't – oh, I was heated on Twitter.
Don't worry about it. Most of those guys are – they cannot be real fans.
Oh, I'm
sorry.
Yeah.
I cannot be a real fan when you just jump off the wagon halfway through or the first 2 months of the season. You're already trying to jump up off the wagon. Yeah, you got a right to be mad. You got a right to be frustrated. Those are different things from jumping off the wagon. You know what I'm saying, Josh?
Oh, yeah.
Steve-O?
Yeah.
You're fans. You have to be frustrated. Yeah, that's one thing. You got to be mad? Yeah, of course, because we don't have the guys doing their job what they're capable of doing. They're not doing it. So, yeah, you got to be frustrated. You got to be mad. Yeah, I get that. But to be quitting on the guys like that, I mean, you know, and getting off the bus so fast, come on, man. That's not a real fan for me.
Right.
And so Thursday. Well, that's funny story about not giving up, because Thursday when we went down and Munoz had that walk off, what was it? It was a 3-run shot, right?
Yeah.
3-run shot. Yeah. Everybody, as soon as you know, the Pirates took the lead in what, the 7th or 8th or whatever it was, everybody on Twitter, "Oh, all right, chalk this one up. We're not coming back from this one." And I, in my head, I'm thinking, you know what? I'm going to do the complete opposite of what everybody else is doing. I'm going to be the positive. You know, I'm always one to think bad first and good last, and why, I don't know why my brain works that way, but it does at times. This time it decided to work the opposite way, and I go, you know what? I'm going to sit here and I'm not going to give up on this team. I'm going to continue to cheer them on until the fat lady sings. And she didn't sing in the 7th inning. She sung in the bottom of the 9th when Munoz hit that walk-off.
Well, let me tell you a story about that, because I'm going to take credit for that win, all right? Because it's solely on my shoulders. I have that. Listen, folks out there in Cardinal Nation, when we win the division by one game, all right, I want you to think back to this Thursday night game against the Pirates in St. Louis, where Munoz hit a walk-off bomb, and you have to thank me for it. So here's what happens, all right? We're down. I'm sitting on the couch watching TV, watching the Cardinals. Same way. I'm going to sit there, watch it till the end, right? We get a hit.
Yep.
We get a walk. I have not moved positions, all right?
You're one of those, huh?
Loaded the bases, another base hit. I still haven't moved positions. My wife, my beautiful wife, comes out. Now, it's late, right? Beautiful wife comes out, and she prances around in front of me, trying to entice me to do God knows whatever. As a fan, and I hope everybody appreciates this in Cardinals Nation, I did not move my position. I didn't lift my eyes. I didn't look at her.
You lost her down.
I did not move. I did not prance around. I did not respond to any of her comings on, all right, if you will.
Her flirtations,
all right? I stood like an oak tree and watched that game, and then here goes Munoz, and that ball up the bat, and I couldn't get in the bedroom quick enough. So just remember, if we win it by one game, this is I should be an MVP. I might have to get a ring for this one.
Can we go to superstitions?
Absolutely.
Because yesterday, I was listening to Mike Shannon, and Waka's got like 2 outs in the 4th, and he mentioned something to his co-host or whatever, whoever that was. I don't think it was Rooney yesterday, but he goes, "Well, you know what I'm going to have to say. You know, it's coming up to that point." Like, no, I know what's coming up. And no, it's the 4th inning. Relax, man. Don't start treading it. No. As soon as that 4th inning was over, "Up, and Waka's got a no-hitter going into the 5th inning," and said it about 1,000 times after that. I'm sorry. I might be 25, but I'm still old school in those kind of ways. I don't talk about no hitters. Don't talk about it. Don't do it. Don't even think about it. Just enjoy the game.
These guys that are working on the media, on the radio, I'm sorry, on the TV, they don't believe in any of that, right?
Oh, I know.
It's like a fan thing, and maybe a players in the dugout thing. The media, I've watched so many of these situations on TV, and they all talk about it like it's nothing.
Yep.
So you know what I'm saying? So we don't like it because, like Polo was saying it yesterday, and I almost said, hey, Polo, no, man, you know, still, you don't have to say that, man. It's from the seventh inning on, he kept saying it. But I want to be honest with you guys. I don't believe in any superstition things. I never believed it. I think it's just a waste of time to believe that, a waste of not a waste of time. It sounds bad, but it's just a thing that you shouldn't do, you know, because you get your brain into it, and if you don't do it, oh man, I didn't do my thing. Doesn't happen that way. It does. Waka didn't give up a hit because the whole stadium was saying, in Pittsburgh, were saying, oh, he has a no-hitter, he has a no-hitter, he has a no-hitter.
Oh, I know. But it's fun, you know? It's kind of fun. I mean, if I was a player, obviously, I probably wouldn't – I wouldn't believe and, you know, care about it as much, like, superstition-wise. I'd have probably more fun.
I'm not against it, Josh. I'm not against it at all. I don't have 1% of my body against it. I just don't do it. I don't like it. It's not my thing.
No, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it gets in your head.
I got three for four, one homer in the Marlins against the Marlins. And the weather in Miami is so hot and humid. My batting gloves were all soaked. So I threw them away. And my brother went into the freaking trash can trying to look for those things and said, no, you're wearing it tomorrow. You're wearing this tomorrow, buddy. You got 3 hits today. How can you throw them away? And I'm like, bro, really? You're going to believe in that? You think I got 3 hits because of the damn batting glove? Come on, man. Are you kidding me? And he goes, no, you got to wear them. You got to wear them. And I said, hell with you, man. You wear them whenever you want. They might give you 3 hits. So wherever you want, you wear them. And I didn't wear them. I wore new ones because they were all messed up with the sweaty and they were all slippery. So I used some new ones. I went 0-for-4 for strikeouts. Nah, I'm just kidding. I went 2-for-4.
Hey,
2-for-4 I went the next day.
My belief is even if you don't believe in superstitions, that is a superstition in and of itself. All right? Even if you don't believe in them,
fair enough.
That's it. So, and I will take responsibility once again for the no-hitter being broken up yesterday, because I did turn the volume on the TV and the kid I was sitting with, Maxon, was over and we were watching. And
I think it was Polo's fault. Polo kept thinking in it.
We're all taking responsibilities for that one. So,
hey, I think you have a responsibility too. We got a little break here.
Do I have to go through all that? Do I have to do the live read? Are you not doing that?
I'm not doing it. I'm not qualified enough.
Are you not? Okay, so hell, I don't even know how Jimbo does this live read, but I guess it pays the bills.
Yep.
So let's say, what do we got here? We're at the patio studio.
Yep.
Right? There's one.
We have Randy Green and Stephanie Green over at Innovative Companies.
What do they got? They got electric.
Heating, cooling, electric.
Plumbing.
New plumbing division. I know that.
Like 150 years of construction work.
Oh, it's
I mean,
nuts.
It's
yeah.
We got Adam's Smokehouse, which is the second best barbecue behind mine, but it's the only one that you can buy, right? And let me tell you what, man, that place is awesome. We went there 2 weeks ago. If you're hungry for barbecue and you don't get the invite over to Steve-O's house, all right, you got to go to Adam's Smokehouse because it is phenomenal. Loved it.
It's the bomb.
It is the bomb.
Yeah, we need to head back over there soon. That was.
And then we got Arlington Greens.
Arlington Greens. Oh, yeah.
What's he call it? The hidden gem of the Metro East? So if you're
not
a golfer.
Gem. Gem.
Gem. That's what I said. If you're a golfer and you want to get out, get over to see Mark Marcuso over there at Arlington Greens. Phenomenal course, love playing it. I think I play that one more than I actually play the course that I live on. So we love playing down there. It's a good track. You can get in trouble in some holes, but there's plenty of room to hit and bail out too. So it plays well for my
a lot game, of fairway,
sure. A lot of fairways. So did we get them all?
I'm pretty sure.
Since I'm running the show, USA Mortgage, big sponsor,
there
Steve and Emily Flowers. huge sponsor of the show. I think it's called Donating Time.
There
right?
you go.
So if you're in the market to purchase or refinance, call Stephen Emily Flowers, 618-655-0483. This is a non-paid endorsement. Did we get that all out of the way?
Oh, yeah. All right, back to baseball.
Back to baseball. Let's get
back
this going
to baseball.
On. Big walk-off on Thursday, right?
Yep.
What did now, BMO, you get into town,
hey,
you get to interview all these guys.
I want to tell you guys something. For all our fans out there, let's stop dogging and getting on our guys that are doing our job and keeping this team floating. Let's just get off of that boat. And if you want to criticize or you want to talk about somebody or blame somebody or whatever you want to do over there, at least do it with the guys who are not doing something. And then you have a point. You know what I'm saying? But
yep.
if the guy is Jack Flaherty, if the guy is Waka, who is 7-1, if the guy is Michaelas, shut the heck up, man. Just praise the guy. Be nice to the guy. He's holding up the fort for us. Those are the guys who are doing good. Lay off of them. And if you want to criticize somebody, go look at the numbers. Go look at whatever else you want, and then you'll find something to do. You know what I'm saying? So I just wanted to drop that in for the fans. That's all.
Yeah, no, positive vibes. Positive vibes. Guys aren't going to do
– especially with the guys that are doing good, Josh.
Yep. I couldn't agree more. I mean, you know, and Norris has done well. I'm still just so baffled that the fans just decided to blow up Twitter after that home run. It just blows my mind. I cannot even fathom.
The way that freaking Norris is pitching for us, you're going to blow him up for one home run tight?
Other than him and Hicks, there's been nobody. Literally nobody. And we're going to bash him?
Okay, so he had, you know, a 9 ERA for me. That game, he gave up, you know, he had a 1 whip, but he gave me 3 Ks and I got the win. So I'll take it. I mean, I don't mind that.
Yeah. It's all good, but then you have the guys that have not produced for you. And if you want to criticize those guys or talk about them, whatever you want, I give you that because they haven't done much. But don't criticize the guy who's holding up the fort for us, man. Come on, really?
Okay, so let's take a minute to praise somebody. Harrison Bader.
Oh, let's talk about his slide. You don't want to talk about that slide where he got he went in, got called for obstruction, and got the double play?
Oh, my good God.
Huh? Has everybody forgot about that? We have a near no-no on another walk-off, and everybody's forgotten about the Harrison Bader slide. That
yeah,
is
because it's bullshit. That's why. It's bullshit. We don't want to remember that.
How about Odor sliding into the second baseman with the spikes?
And then the next game, that Andrelton Simmons guy slid into Odor and caused a big old ruckus. Oh, yeah, shit was disturbed there for Texas and L.A. Oh, yeah, that's going to be a fun matchup all year long. But
they don't
Harrison's
like each other, man.
Oh, no. And, I mean, they're, what, division rivals, so who cares? I'm all for that. Hell, yeah. But Harrison's slide into second. I mean, I see where and why it was called out. I do see it. I get it after reading the other, like last week when Rizzo slid in. I read the actual rule. And he did make contact. I get it. But at the same time, it's still a bullshit rule, and it should be changed. I'm all for the catchers not getting plowed at home plate. I'm all for that. But these slides,
yeah,
I mean.
He made He made contact with the second baseman with the hands.
Yeah.
Plus, he passed the bag, which I don't see anything wrong with either one of them. But what I see wrong is because there's a rule, right?
Yep.
There's a rule. It's wrong because of the rule says that's wrong. That's why it's wrong. But not because a ball player is going to tell you that's a horrible slide.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to say that. Just because we implanted a rule for whatever reason. We implanted that rule baseball is getting really,
yep.
I'm sorry, but they played the game, played it in the right time.
Is there a word called unauthenticated? Is that a word?
I don't know. You can say whatever you want on this show.
I don't know. There's no
spelling. There's no grammar here. That, you know, other than you, you've been kind of like a enunciation police around here.
Oh, get off my back. But yeah, that's what the game's turning into. It's not authentic anymore. It's not our pastime. And I get it. It's going to evolve, but to these measures, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of getting out of hand, but let's.
And how thick do you think all the old school players are feeling right now watching these games?
Oh, they don't like it. They don't like it at all. There's no way. Yeah, the whole slide thing is just ridiculous. You got to break up the double play. Period. I was literally taught that when I was three. Like, you just got to do it. It's part of the game. You got to get that.
Look at how easy I see it. If you can fly as far as you can off the bag, as long as your hand touches the bag.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yep.
You cannot pass the bag. Just leave it like that. I'll take that. But if the guy's on the side of the bag, I can go get him and hit him and spike him and whatever it is. As long as my hand touches the bag, either hand or either side. Now, the other one, and catching. I'm a catcher. I don't like to get run over. I'm not saying that. I never liked it. It's hard. You get hit pretty hard, especially when Brian Jordan's coming to home or guys like that big coming to home, and they hurt you. But let me tell you this. If the catcher is blocking the plate, you can run him over. Now, if the catcher is 1 foot away from the plate or more, or 1 foot away from the other side of the plate and more, you have no chance on getting him and hitting him. How simple is that?
See, I don't think it is that simple. I don't think it is, because you're thinking, okay, you're rounding third. Okay, picture this. You're rounding third. The catcher is, you know, near home plate, but isn't you? I mean, you don't have time to sit there and think. How long does it take the average MLB player to round third and get to home plate? A couple seconds.
We don't either as a catcher. So it's fair.
Yeah.
Fair game right there. So we don't know if we're gonna block you or not. We don't know where the throw is.
So yeah.
That's what I'm saying. What easy it is to say, okay, if the guy ends up blocking the plate, you slide. I mean, you can knock him over. But if he's away from the plate, you got to slide. That's it. The only reason I say that is because you don't have to change the freaking rule that the catcher cannot block the plate and the runner cannot hit the guy. You know what, Josh and Steve-O? There has been more almost injuries with this rule than it is when you hit a catcher, because the guys don't know what to do. That's what it is. The guys almost break their leg. They hurt their knees. They hurt their ankles because, okay, he's in the middle. Oh, he's not. Okay, what do I do? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No, let it play. Let it play. Let the guy, if he runs, and then you go out and check, you say, okay, if you're Joe Torre, go out and check the video. Oh, he blocked the play. And okay, he's okay. Oh, no, he was away from the play. He got hit. Okay, he's suspended for one game. Now you take that away. But you don't make a rule of the catcher cannot block the play. You got to stay away from that line, give him a space. Then you got to slide now. The guys are not getting hit and blah, blah, blah. Come on, man. Really? Are you kidding me? Just because one guy was in a bad position, you're trying to change the rule? The other guy in Tejada with the Mets, he was in the wrong position. He was backwards to the runner. Yeah, was the slide bad? Yeah, the slide was bad. Utley did wrong. But I'm saying, you don't change the rule, man. This is a beautiful game. I love this game. I love the game. I'm going to tell you this. I love the game that I played. I love the game that before me was played. I don't love this game right now.
You don't love the direction it's going. You still love this game.
No,
don't do that to yourself.
No, right now I like the game. I like it. Do I love it? Hell no, I don't love it. You know what I'm saying?
Because
I love the way we play when I was playing. I love the way old school guys play. That's what I love. The liking, yeah, I like the game right now. I mean, there's exciting players. I like it. I like how they play. Do I love it? No, I don't love it. They change too many things for me not, you know, to love it or not. I don't love it. I like it. I can deal with that. You know, I can still go to a stadium and like it and be okay. But I don't love it, man. I can tell you that. I love the way we play when I was playing, and I love the way the people before me, Lou Brock, Bob Gibson, I love the way that the old school guys play. And I'm not taking anything away from the new school, because in these years, baseball, there's guys that still play old school. And yeah. I'm not talking about those guys. I'm talking about the new school rules. The new school rules. Because I know Yadi plays old school. Pujols still old school. And guys like that, they play the game the way I love it. But I'm talking about the rules and changing and all that stuff. I don't love that.
Which goes back to my first, and you bring up who plays, you know, plays the game old school. And I'll go back to Harrison Bader. He hustles. He flat out hustles. He has an approach every time he comes up to the plate. He doesn't sit there. He knows when to take hacks. And that's what we saw that started off that whole inning for Yairo. You know, he starts it off and got.
Let me ask you this, Josh. Do you think it's fair that a hitter can wear elbow guard, face guard, and a shin guard while the pitcher cannot do anything? You think that's fair?
I mean, I don't know.
If you think about it, it's not fair, buddy.
Yeah, but if it doesn't say it in the rules, I mean, I pitched. That's what I did in college and high school. That's all I can't hit a ball to save my life. I never could. But, and it's hard.
I'm gonna give you a new perspective, buddy. As a hitter, you take that elbow guard off and you take that shin guard in your shin off and you take that face thing off, it's a different ball game. You do not want to get hit in the elbow without a elbow guard. You don't want to hit the foul ball into your shin. You don't want to get hit in the face. Of course, we don't want that. Nobody wants that. I'm just talking about the protectors, right?
So yeah.
It is a different ball game, buddy. You wear a protector, you're not afraid of anything. Okay, hit me. I'm going to try to put my elbow guard, and then that's it. You know, that's fine. Before, you get out of the freaking way because you didn't want to get that funny bone hit because yeah. You were going to be out for a week or you were going to be out for 3 days because you couldn't lift your elbow. That's what I'm talking about. The pitcher have nothing and the hitter has everything. You think that's fair now?
No, I mean, I don't think it's fair, but at the same time, I don't know how pitchers are supposed to protect themselves any more than what, I mean, they're coming out with that hat and some pitchers are already using it. I get it. I don't know what the weight difference is or ounces. I don't know, but I don't understand how pitchers would change.
So the pitchers don't have that, so the hitters shouldn't. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I mean, in the end, what are they going to do? What are they going to do? Are they going to sit there and say, well, you can't wear any padding? Nope, absolutely not.
No, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. I'm not sitting here like an idiot, you know, like a guy that doesn't understand. This is not going to change. I'm just telling you a different perspective of me hitting without a pad or a shin guard. It's way different when a 97 guy is throwing at your chest to get you off the plate instead of just turning because you have an elbow guard or you know, or a foul ball in the chin. It is a way different ball game, buddy.
Yeah. My whole opinion on it is if you're going to wear it to bat, you need to wear it on the bases.
Yep. That's exactly. That's
it.
Yep.
I mean, it's not like, hey, why do you – they make you wear your helmet out there, right?
Yep.
So if you're running the bases, if you're scared to get hit by that ball – that's being pitched, then you need to wear it around the bases just in case you get hit with a ball there too. So same reason that you got to wear the helmet, You don't see anybody get the walk, take their helmet off, and go to first base and run the bases and just a cap. They got to wear their batting helmet. That's my whole thing. If you want to wear it, you got to wear it the whole time. But
I got a tip for you guys. If you get hit in the elbow guard, you stay at the plate. And then I don't know what they want to do. I'm just
a ball.
Stuff out there,
yeah, I heard somebody mention that before, and that's probably never going to happen too. But it's an evolved game, and you got to protect the players, and it's probably a union thing. I don't know.
You're making it a hitter's league, not a pitching league.
Well, yeah, there. Of course, Manfred wants he wants bombs. He doesn't care about anything else. He wants bombs. He wants runs and people hitting the absolute piss out of baseballs.
I want fair games.
I do too. Absolutely.
I don't want bombs, and I don't want 1-0 games. I want fair out games. Like, somebody's going to go out there, and if you are wearing all this kind of stuff, of course, guys, they're not going to be afraid of a fastball inside. But if you take that away, you get the hell out of the way on the fastball inside, and you're going to be more aware of the fastball inside, and you become a worse hitter because you got to be aware of that inside part. Right now, a lot of hitters are not aware. Just the league doesn't even allow you to pitch inside. Are you kidding me? You pitch inside, you get a warning. Oh, you're throwing out a guy. Get the heck out of here, man. I love my old school baseball. Ain't nobody going to take that away from me, I tell you.
All right, so our Twitter poll question of the week. We got it. Josh, can you put this out here? Do you have that authority? No? You're shaking your head no?
No, well, I can't on mine, but you guys have.
Okay, Twitter poll question of the week. Would you rather watch a 2-1 baseball game that takes, two and a half hours? I know where you're going with this.
It's not even worth it.
Or a 9-7 game that takes, 3 hours and 15 minutes. What would you rather watch?
But are you asking the players or are you asking the fans?
See, and this is where I think it's a waste of time, because these people on, these fans, they want runs.
That's fine.
And that's majority of them.
But the players, I bet you anything, the high percentage on the players won the 2-1 game. Let's get out of here. We win and let's go.
Do you think they want – so you think the players want – your opinion is they want
game.
A faster game too?
Oh, the player's always looking for a fast game win.
Yeah.
They're always looking for that. But it's not the case, though, what we're saying here. If you ask the fans, they're going to love 13 runs on the board. I mean, they love that. That's fine. That's okay. That's how I want when I take my kids over to a game. I want to see offense. Of course, I'm a fan. But when I go – and as a player, when I was playing as a player, I don't want 13 runs. That means I sucked that day. That means I didn't do my job as a catcher. Hell no. I want 1 run or less when I'm catching.
All right. Well, then I might – if you want a quicker game, I might be able to solve a couple of things here. Let's solve Major League Baseball. How about we keep 162 ball games, okay? Everybody is going to play – 10 doubleheaders, but the doubleheaders are only 7-inning games.
No shot.
How about
they're
that?
They're going to shorten the length of the season before they they won't ever shorten the actual innings. There's no way in
how
hell.
About if the Cardinals only had to play 7 games? We'd be pretty good then, huh? Maybe? Wouldn't have that bullpen issue?
I'm fine with the season. Leave the season alone. I don't.
Everything's changing, Josh. You're going to have to start changing things.
Yeah, well, we'll see about that. We will see about that.
I'm with you, Josh. I'm okay with the season. They don't need to short it out. If Rizzo wants to be short now, let him work out harder. Work. Go to the gym. Make sure you get in shape so you can go work harder for 162. If the season is not long, the season is good how it is. It's fine. You get prepared for it, and that's it. Now that you got pay, it's easier to say, oh, we need to be shorter. Hell no. The season is okay. I'm okay with that. The replays are getting a joke.
Oh, yeah.
The replays are a joke. They should just say, listen, the first 6 innings, it's whatever the hell the umpire calls, and 7, 8, and 9, you have 2 replays, and that's it. Later. That's it. That's my solution to the replay.
That ain't a bad.
Or you can only call them during divisional play, maybe. Like if you're in a division, you can only have replay.
Because it's not like the interleague games don't count against your record. Right. You're still gonna if the Cubs win that game and we lose that game and it's an interleague matchup. Well, they're still gonna be one more game ahead of us. So that I don't know. I don't know. We could talk about MLB rule changes bullshit and.
I think so, too. I think if you really take that and eliminate the replay for the first six innings, no replay, whatever the freaking umpire calls, it's fair game. Let's go how it was before. We lost World Series because of it. We lost playoff games because of it. Let's get the heck out of here the first six innings. Now, 7, 8, and 9, I'll give you 2 replays each, and you use it however you want. If you win the replay, I don't give a crap. That was 1 replay used, buddy. If you win it, you take that one off, and you have only 1 left. And then you eliminate all this crap that they're talking about in the first freaking inning, first batter of the game. Oh, he got hit in the shoulder. No, he didn't get hit. Oh, he hit the jersey. What the heck out of here, man. I'm seriously getting fed up with this thing. It's the first inning. Call it. Hit my pitch. I saw it. Hit it. That's it. Oh, no, he didn't hit him. That's it. I'm down with that. But, man, the first inning, he's going to start with 3 replays? Come on, man. That's tired.
Yeah, it is getting a little ridiculous. But let's look ahead to Miami.
Yeah, Miami.
I just noticed this. We have our horses going against team. Yeah. You know, I don't want to say it's an easy win. Jim, I tried to mention it one time that we were going into the easy part of our schedule, and Jim was waving his arms at me like, don't say that kind of shit. And I was like, all right, well. But I will say this. Miami's 20-39, and we're going up against them. We have Carlos coming back. We have Flaherty. And then we have Michaelis. Yeah. This is going to be a good.
But Jimbo can never say that because we're just talking about with the record. Like, Marlins are not a better team than us. So guess what? We should win all 3 games. Is it like a rule like we're going to win all 3 games? No, everybody knows it's baseball, and we can lose all 3. We can win 2. We can win 1. We know that. We're just saying that we should win if we play our game and if we do our thing because we're a better team. That's all we're saying.
And I think we're going in offensively. I think we're going in hot. I think Ozuna found it. I looked at his stance. There's a lot of people on Twitter that I actually – you know, appreciate what they post and the information. And Ozuna had a little flaw in his swing from last year to this year. He was a little bit more open, and he wasn't getting his foot down in time. His timing was a little off just by his front foot being open a little bit more. And that's what this guy, Zach Gifford, he was talking about it on Twitter. And, you know, sure enough, here comes Ozuna. Big Bear,
don't forget confidence.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. I think confidence and the mental aspect of the game is just it's everything. I honestly think it's everything. I mean, of course you have to have the skill, and of course you have to have the dedication. But you know it, the launch angle. Oh, you need this. You need that. Like.
No, he doesn't need any of that.
No.
He needs confidence.
You need what's between the ears. You know, you need what's in there.
That's right. Yep, yes, sir.
And
that's exactly right.
I think that's what happened with Carpenter. I think that's what's going to happen with Fowler. Munoz comes up. And his second
harder. It's harder for those guys. It's a little harder, Josh, for those guys because they're below 200 or around 200. And that's really hard. Ozuna, the lowest he's got is 250, 255, 260. And that's not bad to come out of it because you're still in the 250s, though that's not his average normally. But
overall,
but a little easier. Yeah, overall.
Yeah, I mean, overall stats. But I'm saying, like, going into the game, I mean, like I said earlier, Fowler had a decent game yesterday and collected a couple hits. So, you know, and he had, a decent series in Milwaukee, I believe. I can't remember. But – you know,
he went to the bench the next day, and he was mad as heck.
Was he?
That's what I'm like, confidence, man. Confidence kill you. when you're hitting 180 and then you go 3-for-4 and then you don't see the average go up to 200 yet, and then you go 2-for-4 again, and then the average doesn't go up to 200 again because it's already been 2 months. And then all of a sudden you go 0-for-4, 0-for-3, and that average keep going down. You're like, ah, shoot, man, what do I have to do? That's the confidence I mean that they need, right? That's why it's harder for those little for those guys.
Come oh, up I get from it. One. And that's why I'm worried about Pham again. You know, he's really in his head. He's in his head a lot. I mean, I know he's a competitor. I know he works hard, and I know he, you know, he basically talks to himself and is his own critic. And I can respect that, absolutely. But, you know, what is it to the point where he's getting too pissed off at himself? Like, that's why I get worried about these guys that have all this, you know, outer shell that they display, and I know what's going on in their head for the most part. You know,
it's hard.
It is. And Jim said it the other, you know, last week, we don't give these guys enough credit. This is a hard sport. It's very hard to hit a baseball. It's probably the toughest thing to do in the world. But, you know, at the end of the day, we have to be fans. We have to fan how we're going to fan, and hopefully we can just continue to be a little bit more positive about this team, because we're only 3.5 back of first place. We're only 1.5 back from Chicago. We're going into a series against Miami, and we're looking sharp. I think we're looking sharp.
So what do you expect tonight? Tomorrow night with Carlos and Yachty coming back. Give me some inside scoop. What do you got, BMO? How's Yachty feeling?
I think it's feeling all right, but I still think that he needs a couple of days to get back in the swings, you know, to feel normal. He needs a couple games up here, not down in the minor leagues or anything, just up here, just to make sure he feels good and get the rhythm back. At least I can tell you that behind the plate, we'll have our leader, even though Pena is doing unbelievable job behind the plate. But we'll have our leader being behind the plate. So I think that helps a lot. But the hitting part, man, I don't know. The hitting part, we have to be patient. All of us have to be patient. Even when DeJong come back, we still have to be really patient with him, because we don't know how he's going to come back from having surgery in the hand.
Right.
And I had surgery in my hand, in my wrist, and it doesn't feel good when you're coming back from injury. So it's going to be something we got to put our eye into it and see what they can do, you know.
So talk a little bit about that. Is it more of a – is it a mental thing? Is it just physically getting over that? Is it – you know, what is it? Is it a timing? What is it that takes a little bit to get back into the swing of things? There's a combination of all of that.
Exactly. I was going to say that. It's a combination of everything. You need your strength in your hand. You haven't done it. Don't get it twisted. You haven't done it, buddy. You have been out for so long, like DeJong and Yachty, that when you come back, you're going to have that rhythm again. You're going to have to find that timing again and the game speed, everything. You got to catch up. It's not really easy. How much of a strength do you have in your hand? How much of a strength Yachty have in his body to go out and perform for 9 innings? Without having any pain, without having anything, to go back to normal. It's going to be very interesting to see how many games it takes him to get back in it. We don't want it. We don't want that. We don't want to think of that, because we want him to come in and get 4-for-4. We want DeJong to come in and 2-for-4, 4-for-4, 5-for-5. But in reality, it's really hard, man. It's really tough. You don't feel the bat the same. You got to get used to all those things. The velocity, the pitching is a lot better here than anywhere else. So it's an adjustment point. We just got to wait and see how far these kids go.
Now, I know Yachty's making a transition with a different set of protective gear for the boys. Anything with a chest protector, any elongated section, any, you know of anything that he's doing other than the cup that's being modified?
I don't think he's doing anything, man. I mean, this is baseball. I don't think I don't think you – I played for 20 seasons, Tebow, and I only got hit like 6 or 7 times. Think about it. How many games do I have under my belt? How many innings did I cut? And I only got hit like 6, 7, or 8 times. And nothing like Yadi, of course, but I still got hit. But you don't get hit that many times in there. So what other things can they do? They better make sure that doesn't hurt his thighs, because you kind of put your thighs together. You need flexibility from the cup. You don't want that hardcore cup, and all of a sudden your thighs are getting all bruised up from it, or you can't even move behind the plate because of it. So you got to be careful. I think he's going to go back to the same cup he was using, because he makes him comfortable.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, much like, I mean, we talk about it a lot on, like, you know, NFL stuff, that, you know, quarterback coming back from injury, that usually like to get that first hit out of the way. You know, somebody knocks them down and they get up where they get that confidence. What's it going to be for Yadi? The first block ball? You know, obviously, you know, like you said, it's the chances of getting another foul tip, or, you know, probably lottery winning type stuff.
Yeah, he already played 5 innings and 6 innings or something like that the last couple of days. So he knows already. He got his mindset already set up, because he already caught. So it's not gonna be in the big league when he catches the first time. You know what I'm saying? He went down to Springfield. He caught 2 games, and he was fine. He was catching normal. He was blocking balls. He actually picked off a guy in the bases, Fernando Tatis, the prospect. He picked him up either at first or somewhere. So Yadi ought to be fine, man. It's just the timing part of a hitting, and the timing part of calling games and calling everything, and go back into knowing his pitchers and knowing what they do and all that. You know, that's more important.
Right, right. Well, and then we got Carlos coming back. And then the big blow, which I think the news came out over the weekend as well, was the Reyes injury, a strain. That's another lat strain, right?
Yep.
And they're unsure of how long he's going to be out. They think it's a little bit more severe than Carlos's lat. But, I mean, Josh, what are you reading? What are you expecting out there from that?
It's hard. You know, it's hard. I don't think it's going to be very good for Reyes. And to be honest, I think it's going to hurt him more mentally than it is physically. I think, you know, after, you know, what do you have? He had Tommy John last year,
yeah,
right?
Like 453 days out or something like that.
And that you heard it from Matheny that, you know, you could just see it in his face, and he was down and down and down. I hope he gets back up. I hope he gets back on the horse and gets things rocking and rolling and gets healthy. But I don't know what to make out of the rumors or whatever you want to call it about. You know, I never saw an actual quote from Matheny other than saying, like, oh, yeah, he didn't come out of the – or we didn't know – something about he didn't know, you know, Reyes was injured until, you know, after the start or something like that. Or he didn't know when he got injured. It could have been before or after. But that's the thing. Like, you don't know when Reyes told Matheny, at least I hadn't seen. So,
yeah.
Either way, if you're Reyes – Go ahead, Bimo.
No, I said it was I'm with you 100%. It's a very serious injury, and we don't know how long it's going to be until they do another test or so. And it's really rough. It's really rough for him, you know.
Yeah. No, and it is.
And he works hard, so I'm not really worried about him coming back at all. He works really super hard. He can go back to it. He can go back and do it. What worries me a little bit is, what are the trainers doing? Not the hurt trainers, but the trainer on the weight, the strength conditioning guys. What are they doing that 2 guys in your team have the lat pull strain? You know what I mean? Like, what exercise are they doing that they shouldn't be doing? Or I don't know. That's what worries me. But he's going to be back. Carlos got back. Even if it's a hard injury, he'll be back. He'll be fine, and he's young, and he has the fight in him. He'll be fine.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm worried about him a little bit. Just because he has very little experience in the bigs. Now this is 2 injuries. One guy even said that he might be out for the rest of the year already. I mean, like, just throwing him up on the shelf and try again next year. Like, I don't know about that, but I don't know.
But if it does happen, what can you do? Get him out? Put him out there on the field and have him next year? I'd rather do that than jeopardize our next season.
Yeah, I think you're going to see an extended probably stay on the DL, and a lot of that will depend on the record. And I wouldn't doubt that if it is an extended stay and you get to a point where you're, you know, either way, either you're in or you're out, might be kind of like a quote-unquote September call-up where he gets in, expanded roster, put him back on, get him some innings just to roll with some confidence. But I hope it's not that.
I don't think they call him up, no, you know, or I don't think they take him off the DL just because of our record. He's going to be one that at least in my opinion, I don't know shit. But, you know, if I'm the Cardinals, I'm kind of babying him now with this lat.
Yeah,
with
that's
his
what I'm
arm
saying.
Last year. Regardless of the record, leave him on the DL until he's 100% healthy. And this is what as an organization, if Reyes was hurt before his major league start, or if he, you know, felt a little funny and didn't say anything to anybody, I'm not trusting him. When he says, "Oh yeah, I feel fine, Coach. I'm good to go."
Well, you might not have a league, buddy, because there's a lot of players out there don't say crap about any injury. They want to be out there on the field and play for his teammates and be out there and trying to win games. So
no,
there's
and
a lot
I
of those
yeah.
guys in the league.
I understand the competitiveness, and that's fine, but at the same time, and again, it's just another, you know, topic that I can go, you know, both sides. I understand the competitiveness, but at the same time, I don't want you out there getting hurt when you're just coming back off an injury that ended your season last year. You've been our top prospect for probably 3 or 4 years now, and we want you. We want you back on the team. We don't, and it's awesome because we don't have a real need for him right now, so I'm glad things are kind of working its way out. But you know, I think the story of the year so far is overcoming adversity. We sit here and Fam goes down or Fowler gets down, Bader comes in, O'Neal comes in.
I got you, but nobody likes this, Josh. You're 100% sure. Nobody likes these things, being hurt and all that. But it happens, and we just have to stay positive with these kids. We want them to be honest with us. Sometimes they're not. But we have to just keep going and next guy up, you know?
Yep, and I think that's the depth that I was talking about, you know, a couple weeks ago about Machado and giving up our depth for one guy that's a rental. You know, these guys – you know, what happens
after him in the free agent?
That's right. What I'm saying. You know, make the playoffs. And okay, you lose in the wild card game, you lose in the NLDS, CS, whatever. You know, you can still go after Machado and say, you're our last piece. We get you. Look at our team from last year. They're all coming back. You know, all we need is you. And we're gonna win a World Series.
That is very attractive to him to come over here, believe me.
Yeah.
He's going to winning team and a good division and a good hitter's park, not ours, but
yeah, no, and not yeah, but the depth that we've shown this year is what has it's the answer for our record, and that's why we're still in it, is because of our depth.
Well, let's speak about record here. What do you got on the next three games, and we'll try to wrap it up. I know we ran a little long, but what do you got? Three games at Miami or against Miami? Yeah. What are you looking at?
Oh, well, I think we're going to win all three. I think we'll sweep them. We're at home. We're playing good. Good offense. Some guys are starting to click. Yeah, and then we have our horses. I don't see them.
It doesn't assure you that you're going to win anything, but I think we should win. We should win all three. We'll see what happens.
Perfect, perfect. I got a sweep. I need a sweep here. For sure.
Yep. I like it. So what?
Yeah, me too, man. Hey, I gotta get going, guys. Yep. I gotta go and talk to my mom and hang out with her before I have to fly out.
No problem. So, we're gonna let BMO go. We're gonna try to do the rally squirrel tomorrow. Sorry, guys, we went a little long. And BMO, go ahead and hang up. We'll talk to you soon, buddy. And I'll run through our sponsors again.
See you, Benji.
So
you got it.
Thanks. That was Benjamin Lena coming to you for the M4byYachty.com hotline. I got that one right, right?
Oh, yeah.
We got the innovative companies, heating, electric, plumbing, cooling,
construction. Yeah. Yep.
Randy Green over there, 296 years in business or something crazy like that. If you got any of those needs, call Randy and Stephanie Green. They'll definitely take care of you. Tell them Two Birds on a Bat sent you. If you're looking to play golf this week, and it is gorgeous weather out, if you're in the St. Louis area, you're not going to beat these next couple of days to play golf. So get over to see our friend over there at Mark Marcuso at Arlington Greens and tell him that the podcast sent you. I'm sure he'll take care of you. Maybe he'll point you in the direction of the hole number one. But tell him we sent you. Great course over there, play golf. We're sitting in the patio's studio, right?
Yep.
So if you're going down to the game, make sure you go to patio's, get your man soda beforehand there, purchase everything there, maybe go down a little bit early, get some food there. Great little venue.
$20 domestic buckets.
Not a bad deal right there.
For being downtown? Oh, yeah, that's where I'm going.
And that's where the party's happening before the game, too. So get the patios. If you see somebody that you know that looks like he's the advertiser that spends the money with the show, make sure you tell them you listen to Two Birds on a Bat. If you're going to go shopping out there, go to our Two Birds on a Bat website. About a third of the way down on the right-hand column, there's Amazon. Click on that. It'll take you right to the Amazon website. You can do all your shopping through Amazon there. But it gives us a couple of pennies every time you shop and, you know, keeps the lights on the studio. Who else is USA Mortgage. If you're looking for a home purchase or a refinance, call Steve and Emily Flowers over there at USA Mortgage, 618-655-0483. Tell them that you heard about us on the show. And a big thanks to Lineup Media Group here.
Oh, yeah.
They got 8 different businesses. JJ, my son, is kind of interning here, and I got to sit down with the general manager, Chris Lakin, and hear about all the stuff they got going on here at Lineup Media.
Yo Radio. Huge.
40 radio stations on board. They're signing the Marley family to do a reggae station. So check out Yo Radio. Brian Kroc, Andrew Allen, our producers here, always do a great job for us.
We have our Facebook pages.
Check
Chris
them out.
Lawless.
Yeah, forgot about
Cardinals
them.
Nation 24/7. Hey, they just came out with the podcast, and it is pretty damn good. I thoroughly enjoy listening to them. They're great guys. Daniel Shoptaw, he's C70 on Twitter. Another great guy. Let's see what else we got. We have Fans of Yadier Molina. That's a great Facebook page. STL Cardinals Crew. And let's see here. We have Cardinal Country as well.
Cardinal Country. There,
guys, just go on Facebook, search Cardinals, anything, and you're going to find a Facebook page for them. And actually, a Facebook page that I just created not too long ago, Cardinals Podcast Network. You know, working with Two Birds on a Bat, I've noticed all these podcasts. There's 17 that I've found, and they're all included on my Facebook page, Cardinals Podcast Network. I'm actually going to do a contest here today, starting today, so check it out and shoot me a like. Yeah.
Do a contest, see who the best podcast is, right?
Oh, I got some ideas in the works. I'm pretty pumped about this. I just got to get the followers up and the likes, and that's what's going to make it fun, and we're gonna have some fun with it if we can get this thing off and running.
But, good deal.
Yeah.
Well, for Jimbo that wasn't here, for Benji Molina, for Josh Potter, I'm Steve Flowers. We're Two Birds on a Bat podcast, and we are out. Go Birds!
Go Birds!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.